Regarding U.S.-Hong Kong relations, the issue of Hong Kong's political system has really had more coverage, especially in the U.S. media and international media, than maybe at any other time since 1997 because of the Occupy protest movement that happened last year. Now, President Obama and senior U.S. officials have spoken out on the issue. The U.S. House and U.S. Senate held hearings on the issue in December. How much engagement have you had personally with U.S. officials on the issue of political reform in recent weeks and months? You know, has that actually taken up a lot of your time? Because I know your main focus, the main focus of this office in which we're in, is really economic and trade issues. Yet it seems like politics has dominated. So how has that, you know, affected your job?
A great part of my job is to try to keep our contacts in the United States updated about Hong Kong, whether it is economic and trade issues or whether this is political or human rights issues. Mm-hmm. So in a way, we appreciate the concern that many of the people in the U.S., our trading partners, the business community, the think tank community, congressional members, members of the federal agencies, they do have a lot of goodwill towards Hong Kong. And a number of them are concerned, naturally, about the things that are happening in Hong Kong. And there are a number of particularly perception issues that we need to address. I've been very active on the Hill, trying to call on members of Congress, be they representatives or senators, particularly people who are on the key committees like Foreign Affairs or Trade, Ways and Means, and trade-related committees, and to try to keep them updated. Of course, I will convey to them the government perspective on it, but of course we know that many of the contacts I met, particularly those on the Hill, as well as the media, they are very sympathetic with the people who are in the pro-Democrat, who are among the protesters, who are putting forward their request for greater liberalization of the nomination process. And I will have to explain to them the kind of background situation as well as the constitutional constraints that we have. And after all, it is something that there will be occasions where we have to agree to disagree, and particularly there are quite a number of criticisms towards Hong Kong and towards the mainland government on this universal suffrage issue.
Yeah, in fact, I just want to get to some of those. The Obama administration, just to start with them, at the beginning of the Occupy protest movement, they had a message which was, we're not taking sides in discussions on Hong Kong's political developments, you know, and we don't support any particular individuals or groups. And I'm sure the Hong Kong and Chinese governments probably appreciated that sentiment that the U.S. government is not going to take sides on that. But in December, a U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for East Asian and Pacific Affairs, Daniel Russell, testified in a Senate hearing, and he appeared to go a little further. He said a few things that I thought were interesting. He said that Beijing's August decision on Hong Kong's election system could and should have gone much further in terms of promoting democracy. He said Beijing's ruling falls very far short of the aspirations of the people of Hong Kong. He said the legitimacy of the chief executive, who will be elected by universal suffrage, will be enhanced if the election allows a free expression of choice by the voters to select from among competing points of view, not simply from a choice between three identical handpicked candidates. And I'm quoting him there. So it seems as if the Obama administration, perhaps in response to some criticism from Congress, went further than it had in expressing its position on the Hong Kong protests. And do you think, does the Hong Kong government think that particularly Daniel Russell's comments crossed the line into actually interfering in what Hong Kong and Beijing both say is an internal political matter for Hong Kong?
Well, I would not comment directly on what he testified in Senate, but I would just say that on this issue of constitutional reform, Hong Kong is very divided. There are people who think that the framework that we have is too restrictive, that it is not going far enough. There are also at the same time people who believe that this is a significant step forward and we could improve upon it as we go along, all right? So Hong Kong is not completely united on its views. So if you simplistically think that all the people who are engaged in Occupy Central represent the whole of Hong Kong, this is probably not correct. Because, for example, there's a signature campaign that was going on at the same time, which was not very well reported in the media, and something like 1.8 million people signed up
yes, that's
in
right.
opposition to Occupy Central. And if you look at the public opinion polls conducted during this period in Hong Kong, you could see that probably there's about one-third who said, let's go veto it. And another one-third of people said, we could accept it. Mm-hmm. And another one-third say, don't know, don't care. So it's a kind of a mixed situation. It's not a question of whether Hong Kong should go towards democracy. It's a question of how quickly and the kind of extent. It is tantamount to saying whether we should drive at 65 miles an hour or whether we should go 40 mm-hmm. or 35. So it's a kind of thing that there is no consensus to it. And at the end of the day, it has to be Hong Kong people and Hong Kong government and Beijing government who have to be resolved among ourselves.
Another thing regarding business, the head of the American Chamber of Commerce in Hong Kong, Peter Levesque, he actually said this week that U.S. companies remain bullish on Hong Kong. But he addressed the Occupy protest movement. He did say that it caused businesses to have some concerns about, you know, the quality of political dialogue in the city. And he said that any deviation from Hong Kong's basic freedoms would cause concern to the global business community. So my question is, you know, as you do your work in the United States, as you travel around and talk to businesses, do you get any sense that businesses are concerned with Hong Kong's situation and that it might actually affect their decisions and whether to do business there?
From the context that I have in the U.S., I think, of course, during the height of the Occupy movement, there are concerns whether Hong Kong is a safe place to go. But I think that kind of concern disappeared quite quickly, seeing the kind of reduction in the kind of frequency of the confrontation between the demonstrators and the police. But of course, their concern would be whether this kind of mass movement will recur frequently, and whether, as they could see now in terms of administrative efficiency, Hong Kong could react as quickly as we used to, because some legislators were saying that they would be embarking on a non-cooperative kind of movement, filibustering and trying to slow down the kind of administrative efficiency by sitting on things. I think it would not be an easy answer to this question. We have to see how it goes. But if you look at it, Hong Kong remains to be very unique. I could not imagine Occupy Central or the Occupy movement happening anywhere in Asia or in the world with that kind of intensity and with the macroeconomics continue to operate in a very smooth and efficient way. That says a lot about Hong Kong's can-do spirit and our ability to ride over crisis and adversity. And overall, the economy functioned extremely smoothly with localized disruption. But on the whole, it doesn't affect the stability of the Hong Kong dollar. The banking sector continued to function very smoothly. The stock market, the foreign exchange market, although some disruption to transportation tourism, but counterintuitively, visitors' arrival increased during that period. And it says a lot about the civility of the Hong Kong community. And on the whole, Hong Kong remained a very stable place for international business people to operate.
I just have one last question concerning two ideas that came up in a House hearing last month. Some of the Congress members who talked about the Hong Kong issue brought up ideas for two particular types of action, and I want to know what the Hong Kong government thinks about them. One is there is a 1992 law, the U.S. Hong Kong Policy Act. Under that act, you know, Hong Kong does get certain benefits and special treatment with the United States, given its autonomous status. So some lawmakers, they're concerned about the quality of Hong Kong's autonomy. So they said, we would like to get the Obama administration to certify every year Hong Kong is still autonomous or sufficiently autonomous. It will still get the benefits in terms of trade and economy. The other idea they brought up is that I'm sure Hong Kong people would love to get visa-free access to the United States. This is something I'm sure the Hong Kong government supports. And one or two lawmakers brought it up as an issue, saying we might try to connect this, maybe offer it as a carrot to Hong Kong in connection with the way the political reform dispute ends up. Maybe we could use the visa waiver program as a means of leverage for U.S. policy. So what does the Hong Kong government think about, you know, these two particular legislative actions that are currently being considered?
Well, we noticed that there are some initiative on the part of some congressmen to try to amend the framework under the 1992 U.S.-Hong Kong Policy Act. My view is very simple. The 1992 Act provides a very stable framework for Hong Kong to develop its relationship with the U.S. And in that, it illustrates Hong Kong is a very distinct part of China, although we are part of China. And that framework provides a very stable and robust environment for us to develop our trade, our commerce, two-way investment, as well as international law enforcement cooperation. We are concerned about suggestion that maybe they should put in place an annual certification arrangement, because this would be much more onerous than the 92 Act, whereby separate treatment will continue unless the president determines otherwise. Right. So it flips over the arrangements by a kind of passive certification to a more positive certification. Right. And that requirement is more onerous, and it actually would put in additional uncertainty for our relationship, because this annual requirement, whatever this is, would make Hong Kong more vulnerable to uncertainty in the U.S. domestic politics. The two parties and relationship between Congress and the administration. And this would also make Hong Kong more vulnerable to the kind of ever-changing U.S.-China relationship. So this will be not good for continuity, and it will not be good for stability of the relationship. So we are trying to work very hard to try to convince members of Congress and their staff that this may not be a good idea. Of course, their stated intention is to try to help Hong Kong. But our argument is that it could damage or harm Hong Kong before they could actually help us. We appreciate the concern. We'll be very happy to explain to them what's going on in Hong Kong and try to address them. Mm-hmm. But by sweeping Hong Kong into this kind of annual arrangement would not be beneficial to Hong Kong and the U.S. and in furthering our relationship. And as for visa-free, I think our government has been lobbying very hard for visa waiver program treatment for Hong Kong passport holders. We believe we have a very strong case, and this should be separated from the kind of ongoing political discussions, because from our point of view, this is a very strong and good tool to strengthen two-way communication and two-way interaction between Hong Kong and the U.S. And Hong Kong, part of the policy that is ongoing. And if you look at it objectively, Hong Kong people do not pose a kind of immigration risk to the U.S., unlike many of the things that are ongoing that are discussed within the U.S. And I would hope that this discussion will continue to be delinked with the political issues that are ongoing in Hong Kong. But of course, we know that the road to giving Hong Kong people visa-free treatment is still a long way, because as I understand it, immigration is a very sensitive subject in the U.S. It is not about Hong Kong per se, but really the whole framework of issues relating to the U.S. immigration policies towards other people in the world.